I'm going to read a text by French philosopher Gaston Bachelard, published in 1951, entitled Reverie and Radio. Radio is an absolutely cosmic problem. The whole world is talking about it, but we must define a concept. It is this. The Bergsonians have spoken of a biosphere, that is to say, a living stratum containing forests, animals, and man himself. The idealists have spoken of a new sphere, a sphere of thought. Others have spoken of a stratosphere, ionosphere. Radio profits from an ionized layer. What term could be better suited to this domain of world speech than logosphere? We all speak in the logosphere. We are citizens of the logosphere. Radio really does represent the total daily realization of the human psyche. The problem here is not simply and solely one of communication, nor is it merely one of information. The problem is that radio, day after day, and in accordance with the requirements not only of information, but also of human values, is entrusted with the task of presenting the human psyche. The human psyche naturally contains clear values. The 20th century is in the process of establishing a kind of universal speech. Every language has its say without getting mixed up with any other. This is no Tower of Babel. On the contrary, what we have is a deeply social classification of and restriction on all wavelengths so that everyone can talk without interfering with anyone else. In this universal world affected by radio, everyone can hear everyone else, and we can all listen in peace. Total realization of the human psyche. Consequently, we must make for the foundations of the principles of the unconscious. We must discover in the unconscious the foundation of human originality. Radio is a function of originality. It cannot repeat itself. Each day it must create something new. It is not merely a function transmitting truths or news. It must have an autonomous life of its own in this logosphere, this universe of speech, this cosmic conversation, which is a new reality for man. It must seek principles of originality in the depths of human nature. The process becomes a paradoxical one, for if radio must find original topics, it must eschew the fantastic. The time for fantasy is a special time. It is a purely adventitious value. There is time for it. Kierkegaard says that the world begins with the fantastic. In saying this, he lays himself open to exposure. Yet man must each day find this power of the fantastic. He will find it in the depths of his unconscious. Radio must consequently find a way of bringing unconsciouses into communication. It is through them that it will find a certain universality, and that is the reason for the paradox. The unconscious is something we know little about. The central problem then is this. Is it possible to set aside radio time and develop subjects for radio aimed at the unconscious, which can then find the principle of reverie on every wavelength? It would be a good thing if we had working alongside the radio engineer, and here again, the term must be created to fit the concept, a psychic engineer. It is through the unconscious, then, that this solidarity among the citizens of the logosphere sharing the same values, the same will to gentleness and the same will to dream, can find its realization. If radio could provide a few hours rest, a few hours peace, this broadcast reverie would be a salutary thing. But there has to be total realization of the human psyche. It must find the times and the means of making all psychisms communicate in a philosophy of rest. To illustrate this thought, we have only to take an example, the theme of the home. It is an archetype the theme is thoroughly rooted in the psychism of every individual. To develop it is to show that there is no more picturesque, that the picturesque is precisely fantasy, entertainment, that it must arouse some response in the mind of the individual. We can ask him to dream of a home, an interior. We can recall him to his memories of childhood. But it is not a question of regressing, of returning to buried and forgotten joys. It is a question of showing the listener little by little the essence of inward reverie. This is why the theme of the home, the seat of privacy and inwardness, lends itself so perfectly to the purpose. One has only to experience it to realize that there exists throughout the whole world, among people of the most diverse cultures, an archetypal home. This notion of the archetype is an extremely important one in psychoanalytical philosophy. It has rather a bad name with some psychoanalysts, probably because it is a Hobbesian theory and Hobbes was an idealist. So then, talk to all and sundry about home. Talk calmly over the radio. At a time when the individual cannot be seen and can himself see no one. For this lack of a face to go with the voice is no impediment. Rather, it is an asset because it is precisely this which opens up the access of intimacy, the inward perspective. One listener may live in the north, another in the south, another in the east, another in the west. All of them, however, possess an archetype of the house where they were born. There is something deeper than the natal home, what is referred to in a book as the oniric home, the house of our dreams. If we want to teach reverie, transmit reverie, and reach our listeners, we have only to put the listeners in a house, in a corner of the house, in some nook, perhaps in the attic, in the cellar, in a passage, somewhere very modest. For there is a principle of reverie, and that is the principle of the unpretentious refuge. Radio gives the listener the feeling of absolute deep-rooted rest. Man is a plant that can be transplanted, but he must always take root. He has taken root in the image offered him by the speaker. He will bring to bloom a human flower. He will discover exactly this, that he possesses an unconscious. Obvious things have just been conveyed to him in an obscure form. It is important to seek out the obscure somewhat. In a line like this, and in seeking my mother, it is you, O home, I find. There is a sense of inner warmth retained. We are in the presence of an archetype. Is it a problem for radio to put across archetypes? Would not a book be more suited to the task? Probably not. A book is something one opens and closes. It does not come seek one out or impose solitude upon one. Radio, on the other hand, is certain to impose such solitude. Not always, of course. It would be no use listening to this kind of program in a dance hall or someone's drawing room. It must be listened to not necessarily in a coalman's hut, though that would be ideal, but in one's own room in the evening, when one is alone, at a time when it is one's right and duty to instill in oneself calm and repose. Radio has everything required for speaking in solitude. It needs no face. The listener, then, is there before his set in a solitude that is not yet established. It is radio that establishes it around an image that is not just for his property alone, but everybody's. A human image. One that exists in every human psychism. Nothing picturesque. No entertainment. It comes in the wake of sound. In the wake of well-formed sound. It could be a way of tackling the problem of insomnia. Hey. Quiet now. Stop talking about your neighbor, or your wife, or your bosses, or your underlings. Come back to yourself. Nurture the poetry of your archetypes. Return to your roots. You are about to go to sleep. You are just at the level of the beginning of dreams, and you will soon be at the level of deep dreams. Dreams that will not be nightmares if you have really accorded the archetypes the beauty befitting them. Radio really does hold the key to tremendous daydreams. And if our psychic radio engineers are the poets concerned for the welfare of mankind, tenderness of heart, the joy of loving, and love's voluptuous trust, then they will lay on splendid nights for their listeners. Radio's evening message to every heavy heart, every tormented soul should be this. It is a matter of no longer sleeping on earth, but entering the nocturnal world of your own choice.